Eve? Eve? Where are you, Eve? Where is that woman? Did we decide to call this a cantaloupe or a mushmelon? Eve? You're where? You're down by the tree. Which tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're talking to a what? A who? Oh, this isn't going to be good. Mary, sit here and rest on these rocks for a while. It's been a long journey from Nazareth. And we're almost at Bethlehem. I think we ought to be able to make Bethlehem before nightfall. And, you know, I wish we'd been able to afford a donkey. You're 8 months. Okay, right. Nine months pregnant. All right, I got it. You guys get cranky. Oh, man. You know, I'm glad we were able to afford a stick. I got that job up in Sephora's, and that should keep us, well, that should keep me employed for a while now. And old Aurelius up there, I told him, hey, Aurelius, I need to take some time off because I've got to go down to Bethlehem and I've got to do this census thing. And, typical employer, he said, yeah, you've only worked here 3 months and you already want vacation. I'm going, well, you know, it's not my fault, guy. It was your Caesar who said, go down to Bethlehem and participate in the census. And you know what he said? He said, well, he's your Caesar too. To which I said, well, whatever. I mean, do I get the time off? And, he relented. And, I hope I have a job when I get back. But I think I should. I know these last 8 months haven't been easy for you, Mary. I remember when we went to the market after you got back from Elizabeth's place, and we walked in and everybody just stopped talking. And they turned and looked at us. And then they began that whisper talk, And I just wanted to stand up and say, hey, it's a God thing. But if I had done that, they'd have thought I was crazy, like a donkey eating wild weed. And can you imagine the number of jobs I'd have gotten after that? Wow. And after we gave the folks the news, wow. First few dinners over at your folks' house? Whoa. Yeah, your dad was about as warm as the snows on Mount Hermon. Your mother's eyes, if that woman could stare daggers... Oh, yeah, okay, right, I get it, yeah. My family wasn't much better, yeah. But it's been tough news for them to hear, And they don't understand. I'm not sure I get it all. But, Shortly after I told Dad, we were working on a cart for Eli. His wheel on the left side, some of the spokes were rotten out, and we were working at replacing those. And Dad decided to have the talk with me. No, silly, not that talk. He just wanted to know if I really wanted to go through with our marriage. He wanted to know if I was all right with this and if I'd take care of you. And I told him, of course I want to go through with this. I love you, and I want to spend my life with you, and I just couldn't see any other future. This is us. And Dad got it, you know. And the brothers and Dad have pitched in, and they've helped us on the house. When we left, we were putting the roof on, you know, rolling out the soil over the leaves and the branches, and the roof should be hard packed and waterproof by the time we get home. So it's things are coming together. People are beginning to accept it. I'm not saying it's been easy. Don't misunderstand me. We probably need to get going. We don't want to be left out here alone. And that caravan just went by. We need to catch up with them. I still think we'll make Bethlehem before nightfall, and I'm sure I'll be able to find us a place in the inn. Wow. Oh, man. Oh, I was never so scared in my whole life. John, have you ever seen anything like that? The waves on the Sea of Galilee just, whoa! Man, I was in the front of the boat and I was bailing for all I was worth, and the water just kept coming in and coming in and coming in, and I thought we were all going to die, and I knew there were other boats out there with us, and wow, you know. And then Jesus spoke, and it got so quiet. And then you remember what Jesus said to us, all of us in the boat? You know, he said, oh, ye of little faith, you have no faith. And nobody said anything. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, and John, think about it. I mean, you know, when Jesus spoke and the wind stopped, and the sea calmed down. You know, wasn't that like Moses who walked up to the Red Sea and said, "Boo!" You know, and the waters parted. And Elijah went when he said, "No rain," and there was no rain. And then he said, "Rain," and there was rain. I mean, John, who is this Jesus? Yo, Andrew, hey, dude, how's it going? I see you've got a basket full of loaves and fishes too. We've got all this extra food. Man, I got to tell you, though, thanks, man, for pulling me out of that. You know, when Jesus turned to me and he said, hey, where do you think we're going to get food for these people? And I go, I think the last time Judas said anything about the money, we had 200 denarii. And then you walk up with this kid with five loaves and two fishes, and Jesus turns his attention to you and him and off me. And, oh, man, was that a relief, let me tell you. Oh, I felt so much better. Yeah. Oh, you know, I wonder why he didn't ask old money bags. I mean, Judas has our money box. Why didn't he ask Judas? Of course, you know, I bet old Judas is smiling like a happy camper. He didn't have to part with any of his money to pay for all this. Jesus just multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And, yeah. That was good. That was good. Well, hey, I see the rest of the guys gathering over there next to Jesus. Let's go over and see what he wants us to do with all of the extra food that we've got. Would you join me in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29? When you're going to Dillon's and they're handing out free coupons for groceries, would you want to grab a coupon? Would you want to be included in the group? If you were going to Chick-fil-A, or if you heard that Chick-fil-A was giving away free lunches, would you stand in line? Would you ask how to get in on that? If the state of Kansas decides that you don't have to pay any income tax, would you want the 411 on how to avoid paying income tax in the state of Kansas? I'm going to assume, since those are rhetorical questions and you all are very quiet this morning, that the answer to each one was yes, I'd like free groceries. I'd like a free Chick-fil-A. Well, I'm more of a Popeyes guy, but I'll go there anyway. You'd prefer not to pay taxes if you had a choice. I'd like for you to keep this thought in mind, that you would like to be treated just like everybody else. And keep that thought in mind as we look at this section of John. Starting in verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, hey, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. And this is where we always start when we look at Thomas, doubting Thomas. But I really want to draw your attention to a couple of verses a little earlier in the passage. Would you look with me at 19 and 20? Now the setting for this is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus has arisen from the grave in the morning. He's appeared to folks in the afternoon. And then he shows up in this room. And it says, on the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, yea, Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You already have the setting. You know the doors are locked. You know it's the Sunday of the resurrection. And you know that the disciples are huddled in fear. If they killed off Jesus, maybe they'll come after us next. Not a real positive view of the situation. And then Jesus just appears. Notice that the scripture is careful to set the ambiance of the scene for us. And evidently this caused some anxiety in their hearts, because the first words out of Jesus' mouth are, peace be with you. And if he spoke in Hebrew, he would say, shalom, which is one of my favorite words, because it not only means peace, but may good things follow you. And the idea here is that Jesus wants to calm their anxiety. He wants to make them feel comfortable with his resurrected presence. And so he very carefully says, it's me. And notice how Jesus says, it's really me. He shows them his hands and his side. Now, if you were thinking that it was normal for people who had been crucified to show up alive a few moments later, Jesus very carefully makes the point that it's really him, because most people would have marks in their hands but not a spear in their side. And Jesus definitely has the marks of the guy who was crucified on the cross that Friday. So, for those 11 disciples, they could see that Jesus was really who he was. Now let's go back to our passage. Thomas has said, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. So we get the idea that they're in the same locked room. And they're huddled for the same reason. They have this anxiety about being persecuted as followers of Jesus. And so they are taking comfort in themselves, and they know that they've seen Jesus, but Thomas hasn't. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. So again, he sets the scene for the disciples to not be disturbed, distressed. He wants to allay their anxiety. He wants them to feel comfortable with his presence. Notice the scene is set just like the previous Sunday. Only on this Sunday, Thomas is there. And Jesus turns to Thomas and he addresses him directly. And he says, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen and have not seen and yet believe. And here's what happens. We read the passage that's strictly about Thomas and we blow it out of proportion because all Thomas asked for was the same thing you asked for. He wanted to be treated just like every other disciple. All the other disciples had seen Jesus' scars in his hands and the scar in his side. And Thomas says, that's what I want to see. I want to see the scars in his hand and the scars in his side. Thomas was not asking for something more. Thomas was not asking for a special revelation. Thomas was not asking for an appearance of Jesus just to him. He just wanted to be treated the same as everybody else. When you look at this passage and you see Thomas confronting Jesus Christ, notice that it never tells us that Thomas put his finger in his hands and felt the scars, or that he put it in Jesus' side and felt where the spear had been. Thomas immediately acknowledges Jesus as his Lord. And notice the terms that he uses. My Lord and my God. This is one of the strongest affirmations of Jesus' deity in the post-resurrection appearances. This is no small matter. And when Jesus then responds to him, notice what Jesus says. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And another way to translate that would be, do not be an unbeliever, but be a believer. And if you notice, as John develops this passage in his book, that exactly fits in with what he has to say in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. This passage in John is sort of like in Matthew. You'll recall in Matthew, Jesus takes the disciples far north in Galilee, up by Dan, and asks them, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay. The focus of that passage isn't on Peter, it's on Jesus. And that's the same way this passage on Thomas should be understood. The focus is not on Thomas, it's on Jesus. Who Jesus is, Lord and God. As a matter of fact, as you saw, that's the whole intent of John's book, is to show us that Jesus is indeed Lord and God. And you say, well, Jan, that sort of pushes old Thomas into the background. Well, yes, it does. It does. And it shows us that Thomas is just one of the good old guys. You know, the reason that I acted out these little vignettes this morning was to show that the Bible is made up of real people. They're three-dimensional. They are not flat Stanleys. If any of you have elementary kids, you know what a flat Stanley is. If you don't have elementary kids, ask someone, okay? But these are real people. You know, when we come to the Bible and we look at these passages and we see Thomas or Mary or Nicodemus or Pilate, any of them, we need to realize that, you know, when they got up in the morning, they had morning breath. You know? They wondered where they were going to find work. You know, they had mornings when their donkey wouldn't start. You know, when they were sick and, oh man, I just feel lousy. Blah! You know? These are real human beings. They're flesh and blood. They're us. Okay? They had chores. They had to get water from the well. They had to go out and look for sticks and dried animal poop so they could set fire to it and warm themselves and cook their meals. They had clothes to wash. They had floors to sweep. They had goats to milk. If you've never enjoyed goat's milk, you've missed out on something. They had bread to bake. They had to go shopping in the marketplace, the agora. What a wonderful word. I like that word. They had to go to school. You know? They got zits. Okay? They had headaches. They had birthdays. They had brothers and sisters. Ooh. Okay? Yeah, they wondered who they were going to marry. Not her. Hope Dad doesn't pick that one. I don't have enough money to afford her. So, you know, my purpose this morning is to help all of us, me included, understand that we do a real disservice to the people whose lives were given to share with us the scriptures, if we do not consider them as real people. God shares their stories with us so that we might develop an understanding of how God related to them and how God can relate to us. Our good music friends, would you come forward?